Reading today is the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, starting with the 11th verse. The company I work for and the job I do, I often deal a lot with industrial equipment, and there's a lot of analogies that I've come to understand between the science of industry and the truth of God's word. And we sell devices that engage and disengage power or torque. And one truth that relies is, like the relationship with God and his word, we have the ability to engage and disengage into it. The parable of the lost son is one in which there's a deep truth to it, and while it is a parable, a story Jesus told, it certainly isn't outside the realm that this could have happened or it does happen. And in fact, the engagement part on our part is, who do we relate to in this story? There are people in here, no doubt, understand the prodigal. There are some who quite understand the older son, and there are some in here who even understand the father. To the extent that we engage into it is the manner to which God can work in us. Jesus continued, "There is a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him into the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he said, he replied. 'And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeying your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The second reading is from 1 Peter, chapter 2, starting with verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This ends the reading.
I'd like to invite the children to come up. How are you guys doing today? I'm going to use a word in the sermon I want to see if you can learn, okay? There is a word that is called grateful, okay? And there's a word that's called ungrateful. Now, do any of you know what it means to be grateful? Yes. You're happy? A little bit more. Grateful. Should I make it easier for you? Grateful also means to be thankful. It also means if you're thankful, the opposite. Ungrateful would mean to be unthankful. Has anyone ever been unthankful to you? Where you did something nice for them and they never said thank you? Where you helped people do something and they just didn't even say a word to you? How does that feel when people aren't thankful? Pretty crummy, right? It happens whether we're big people or little people. If you go and get something, you bring it to mommy and mommy says thank you, that feels good. Because you did something that she asked you to do, and she says, thank you, honey, for getting that for me. And that's what we're talking about today. Today we're going to be talking about two boys, okay? Both of them were ungrateful, which means unthankful. One of the problems of people in America is we aren't very thankful. Did you know that most children that slept last night didn't have their own bed? They don't even have a bed to sleep in. Did you know that most children last night probably went to bed very hungry and they may not have had anything to eat for the whole day? Did you know that some of those children are walking and walking and running for their lives? Because of how wicked the country is where they live? Did you know that some of those children don't even know if they're going to have a meal tomorrow? Could you imagine how hungry you would be if mom and dad said to you, no food today? We don't know. Maybe some food tomorrow, we'll have to see. You understand? Our country has so many wonderful things. How many of you have ever gone to the kitchen sink or the bathroom sink to get a drink of water? Did you know most children in the world can't do that? I saw a little girl just like right there put a 5-gallon bucket on her head and carry 4 gallons of water all the way up the side of a mountain so her family would have water to drink. Can you imagine having to carry buckets of water for your bath? No. Yeah, Noah's right. Do you understand? One of the things we're going to talk about today is being grateful or being thankful, but we're going to study it by looking at two boys, both who were very ungrateful. So I want you to listen carefully. That's the parable, okay? Then we're going to talk about how much we have to be grateful for. Raise your hand if you have somebody that loves you. Oh, good. Raise your hand if you're probably going to get something to eat today. Yeah. Raise your hand if you're probably going to get a piece of candy in just a minute, probably. Oh, forget it. Ah. And if I give you a piece of candy, what are you going to say?
Thank you.
You got that? All right. Two sons, both of them ungrateful, unthankful in the story. Listen for it in the sermon, okay? Here we go. There's two different kinds in there, or three different kinds or something. You each get to pick one. Just one. Just one. And I'm going to count down. There we go. Get one for mommy. Two, honey. Yeah. That's all right. When mommy's come down. You're welcome. Just one, honey. Just one. Or two. I'm with my juniors and we're studying the story of the prodigal son, and it struck me as I was doing that how ungrateful both boys really were, and how easy it is to get ungrateful, to make the assumption that somehow I deserve the opportunities I have, the wealth I have, the education I've gotten, the significance of living in this country, and all the other things. Plus, I am very deserving of all the love and attention that people give me. And I'm very deserving of having my mother and father take care of me and wait on me hand and foot. And I'm very deserving. You know, we get in that kind of, it's not really a mode, but it's kind of an attitude that says, well, this is what I've grown up with. It becomes an expectation that we just assume that that's the way it should be. And so we get into this ungrateful mode, almost not even noticing it. I was thinking of the prodigal son, and I don't know which one you think the lost son is, but it's not the first one. Parable is sometimes called parable of the lost son. The first one isn't lost. He's an idiot. Okay? The lost one is the second one. You understand? Here's an ungrateful son, and he looks at his dad, and he makes the assumption that my dad worked and gained all this wealth and all the things that he's acquired, and I deserve them. An unthankful heart. A covetous heart. I deserve what my dad has. I have a right to expect my dad to take care of me. I have a right to expect my dad to pay for my college. I have a right to expect my dad to do this and do that and buy me a car and anything else I want to come up with. I have a right to do that. It is a covetous heart. It is a selfish heart. It's a prideful, ungrateful heart because it makes assumptions upon what other people are supposed to be doing for you or what it is you think you deserve. Like somehow you have, by your sheer existence, the right to demand this from somebody else. An even greater offense is how offended you feel you can be if they don't deliver. Or you do a comparison. His dad bought him that car. You didn't buy me anything. His parents paid for their college. You didn't do anything. And so they're so ungrateful, they're doing this measuring, right? All you did is give me food and clothing and a roof over my head and took me just about everywhere I wanted to go growing up. But they also bought him a car. So mom and dad, you just don't measure up. You see how easily ungratefulness creeps into our hearts. Ungratefulness creeps into our attitudes that somehow we assume, right? Assume we're more deserving. I deserve your attention. I deserve this. I deserve all these qualities, characteristics, love, money, wealth, whatever it happens to be. And we begin to function like that. And after a while, in one sense, I can't blame kids who have never experienced anything but a tap of water, you go on and off, right? They can't have a difficult time till you drag them over to Africa and you realize there is no clean water unless you walk someplace to get it. And that you don't even know what a shower is because generally speaking, unless you're really very fortunate, you don't have access to hot water, clean water, to take a shower or take a bath. And you go, so much of what we live with, so much of what we take for granted, up to including a flush toilet or even toilet paper, We just take it all for granted. Like somehow, well, everybody has this. I go, no, they don't. Let's see, I'm going to eat or I'm going to buy a roll of toilet paper. You want to guess which one you're going to do? You understand? So the ungratefulness that creeps into our hearts, this son, this first son, the younger son, you have to understand, he feels a little downplayed already because the older son gets the greater portion of the wealth. The older son is somehow viewed sometimes as the firstborn attention that firstborns get and whatever else you want to pick. And he is so ungrateful. I've shared the story with you before. I'll just paraphrase it again with you. Dad, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead so I could take my portion of your inheritance and go live somewhere far away from you because I don't even want to be around you. I don't want to be around this family. I don't want to be around this place. I don't want anything that you have for me except my portion of the inheritance. What a contrast of greed and selfishness at the same time, right? Like somehow my parents owe this to me. The Father in his mercy and his grace extends that to his son. And the son takes off. And he goes away to a faraway land. And there it says, he says, he squandered his wealth. He wasted it on all the wrong things. He spent it. He bought friendships. And he found out very quickly, as his money disappeared, so did his friends and acquaintances and all the people that he thought he had in his life. And then it goes on. He takes this Jewish boy, puts him down in the middle of feeding pigs, the wretched stench and all the misery of what pigs meant to a Jewish boy. And he is there and he's so hungry, he wants to eat the husks, the shells from the peas and the beans and other things, just the green part that's left over and dried laying there that they feed the pigs. That's how hungry he is. And then it says, when he came to his senses, he said to himself, this is stupid. I've been a stupid person. In my father's house, even the hired people are eating better than I'm eating and are being better taken care of. I will go back to my father and I will ask him, please receive me back, not as a son, but as a hireling. Please accept my repentance and forgiveness. He goes back and he repents. Miracle, of course, is the father takes him back. The older brother. Jealous, bitter, angry, disappointed. Why are you treating him so good? How come you show him mercy and grace? How come you're kind to him? Have you ever gotten to that mode? How come they make more money than I make? He has a bigger house than I have. She drives a nicer car than I drive. You know, her clothes are much better than my clothes. Right? Thank you, God, for my shirt on my back. Oh, no, no, no. God, she has 5 shirts, I only have 1 or 2. She's got 50 pairs of shoes, I only have 33. We do that, don't we? We get in this strange mixture of covetousness and jealousy and greed, and we get caught in that, and we somehow go, God, I've been so faithful to you, how come you're not delivering in my life? And that reality, that's what that older brother was experiencing. There's a jealousy that overpowers him. It's the kind that keeps him from even coming in to celebrate with his no good younger brother. And he does not get the father's mercy at all. That's why he's lost. The older brother thought he deserved his portion of the wealth. The older brother, what's the joke that parents like to tell the kids? On the will, I like to say I left you something, but I spent it all before I died. Ha ha! You know, it's kind of like there's nothing left. And you kind of go, oh, that's so unfair. I go, where do we get that mentality? Well, that's what that older brother was living with, and he could not understand the mercy of a father that loved a boy, even though he was as wretched, unloving, uncaring, disrespectful, and disobedient as this young brother was. Now, I don't know if that older brother ever went in, but I'm going to tell you now the context. The context of the parable is with the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus looks at them in the parable before and before that, if you want to read them, And he starts saying, you got to understand something. The prostitutes, the tax collectors, the worst of the people, the drug addicts, they know they need a Savior. You guys don't think you need it. You guys don't get grace, do you? You think somehow you deserve this country. You think somehow you've earned it. Any of you had to shed blood for it yet? Maybe you have. You understand? Ungratefulness, it's something that creeps into our souls, that creeps into our hearts. We become ungrateful for our country. We become ungrateful for our parents. We become ungrateful for the gift of our children. We're ungrateful for what we do have. We're missing, just missing the mercy of God. All right? We're just missing how tender and loving and gracious He is. You get up this morning, your car started. You get up this morning, you probably had your cup of coffee and maybe something to munch on. You're looking forward to the regular part of the day and you have an anticipation of money in your pocket, some food, some things, a warm place, and you may even be able to have enough time to watch a Packer game later if you got to and want to. And you'll eat during it or be disappointed or, like me, fall asleep. You understand? How's your chair? Oh, kind of nice on my tush. Yeah. Did you walk into church? Thank you, God, for helping me walk this morning. Can you still see me? Can you still hear? Is someone you love still somewhere in the row with you? When was the last time you kids threw your arms around your mom and dad and said, thank you, Dad, for working every day? Thank you, Dad, for helping us stay together as a family. Thank you, Dad, for the lessons you've taught me. Thank you, Mom, for the food you've prepared, for the kindness you've shared, for listening to me, for caring about me. When was the last time you said thank you to your wife or your husband, not because you had to, because someone invented some new holiday to say this or that, but because God has moved on your heart that you look them in the eye and said, honey, thanks for washing my clothes. Thanks for putting that away. Thanks for not making me ask you to take the garbage out. Thanks for this. Thanks. You understand? We become so assumptive of people, so assumptive of God, so assumptive of our country that we don't understand what it took to get it and what it takes to hang on to it. And the challenge now is for our hearts, even as Christians, not to be ungrateful as we head into a Thanksgiving. Not to be so ungrateful that we miss the opportunity to say thank you to people. To be appreciative. To not make the assumption. Some of you are very unlovable people. Be honest about it with yourself. You have up and down moods. You're pretty inconsistent. You can get downright selfish. You get into self-pity parties, right? I'm just describing myself, by the way. All right, you know me. You know I'm talking about. But the point is, you know your own descriptives. Some of you talk to your wives, if you talk to me like that, I'd punch you. Some of you talk to your husbands, if you did that, I wouldn't want to talk to you ever again. That's how unthankful we are. We have become so presumptuous because you made this vow, so presumptuous because I'm born American, so presumptuous because I have a job, that we make the assumption that we have earned and deserve everything we have. And God stands there going, how's your day going? Oh, God, well, you know, I took care of the safety of my family and I went out and worked and I got a job and I have my wife trained. She'll make the food and we're going to watch that color TV I bought and where are you? What do I need you for? And we get into that mode, like somehow every part, and you go, when was the last time you said, boom, thank you, thank you, thank you. You understand the ungratefulness that creeps into people's hearts. The Pharisees were so filled with their own self-righteousness, they couldn't see the mercy and grace of God in Jesus. They were so caught in that, they couldn't understand what it really meant to be thankful. And so the challenge of Christ, he's going, let me tell you a parable, please, maybe you'll get it. And he said, this wretched, wretched son, this disrespectful, disgraceful son that should never have been loved and was so totally undeserving, the father ran out, threw his arms around him, and he said, my son who was lost has been found. And the older brothers are like this. Well, what was Jesus doing? You're a prostitute. Come here. You're a pimp. Come here. You're caught in drugs. Come here. You understand? That's who Jesus would do. That's how he would respond to those people that needed his mercy, grace, and forgiveness. And so, as we enter into this time, I took you then into Peter, and I would like you to turn there if you would. 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen, called out, selected people. It is no accident that you've come into the kingdom of God. God called you. God wanted you. God needed you in the kingdom. God longs to pour his life into you. And he goes on, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And here's the part we sometimes forget. So that you can declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are so lost without God. We are so totally dead without the work of the Holy Spirit. We can find ourselves caught in the Pharisaical mind of the older brother. We can find ourselves caught in the trap of the Pharisees, somehow thinking our righteousness puts us in a different category, that somehow because we've never had to haul our own water, because we never had to deal with the fact except to flush a toilet, and we've always had all these things, that somehow we've earned them, we deserve them. And God just is looking for you to say, thank you, God. Thank you, dear. Thank you, husband. Thank you, wife. Thank you, mom. Thank you, dad. Thank you, son. Thank you, daughter. You remember when I was talking about when we raise kids, you sometimes have to work harder than you think? You ever been around those parents who just, honey, go get me this. Go get me that. Go get me this. Ever been around those parents? Boy, did God convict me of that when I did that. I didn't. I did it. I go, holy cow. They're not my servants. Kids are my kids, but they're not my servants. They're not my slaves. They're not my go get this, go get that. And certainly, they deserve a minimum of please and thank you. You go, is it that easy for me to become ungrateful even of my own children? Yes. Is it that easy for a child to become so ungrateful they're asking mom for a glass of milk, they forgot how to say please? Kids walk up to me and they say, can I have a Kleenex? I keep Kleenex in the drawer of my desk. I go, what? Can I have a Kleenex? I said, I can't hear you. Can I have a Kleenex? I said, I can't hear a word you're saying to me. I want a Kleenex. My nose is full. I got to get a Kleenex. Can't hear you. Finally, someone from the back of the room or someone nearby shouts, say please, dummy. I look at him. I say, I'm a grandpa. You're going to learn to say please, or you're not getting a Kleenex from me. And they go, okay, may I please have a Kleenex? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I hand them one. You understand? The please and the thank you is something we assume. He's the teacher. Give me a Kleenex. Shut up. I got a plugged nose. You got to do what I want you to do. I said, no, I don't. You understand? These are lessons my kids are learning, my students are learning. These are lessons I have to learn. God looks at me and says, Harmon, you are so unthankful. You are so presumptive. You just make the assumption that you deserve what you get. When was the last time you understood my heart? When was the last time you wept with me and prayed in intimacy, cried with what my heart breaks over? You understand? God is longing to have such an intimacy with you that he wants you to understand his heart, because he really wants to look at you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God longs to bless you. God longs to be thankful to you. Can you believe it? Thank you for standing. Thank you for being courageous. Thank you for not compromising. Thank you. Where are the people that are going to grab the cross and march forward? We sang that beautiful song, but you want to know something? Somebody's got to grab the flag. You ever seen those movies, like in Civil War movies, and they're charging, and as they charge, they're running at it, and so all of a sudden the guy with the flag gets shot and he goes down, and the guy right next to him drops his rifle, whatever he has to do, picks up that flag, and he starts running full tilt and leading. The next one shot, and the next one picks it up. I go, that's what the fight we're in. That's where we're at. Don't be looking around. You got to stand. You got to raise that banner. You got to raise that flag. God is longing to look at you and say, thank you. Thank you for raising the flag over your Thanksgiving meal. Thank you for slowing everybody in your family down, even the thankless ones, just to be thankful yourself. Thank you for making everyone just wait a little bit to talk about what they're thankful for, to take a moment and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. You understand? That whole process of gratefulness, those Pharisees could not get into because they thought they deserved what they had. What do you deserve? Eternal judgment, condemnation, hell. I got a house with running water. I have toilet paper in my bedroom or my bathroom. I have a toilet that flushes and a furnace that's working. And on and on and on and on. We have so much to be thankful for. Let's not be ungrateful this week. Lord, bring a grateful spirit over us. The kind that just really acknowledges you are Lord and King. We pray, Father, that we would manifest thankfulness faithfully to you, Lord. We're asking that we would just appreciate all that you do for us. Every day you give us the gift of children, the gift of being able to hug them, the gift of even being able to struggle with them, Lord, the gift of having them close enough to talk to, the gift of being able to say please and thank you to them, the gift of being able to hold on and nurture them one more day, the gift of being able to intercede for them, the gift of being able to make a difference in my mother's life or my father's life, the gift of being able to say thank you, God, for this person in my life. Lord, create in us gratefulness. Uproot ungratefulness. Help expose it in all of our hearts. And just pour life and hope and joy into us. We pray this all in your name, Lord. Amen.